is a holiday weekend, I guess, and sometimes our attendance shows it, and because people are out and about, but we also have some people here visiting today. So from Clarkson, Mississippi, you guys just stand up for a minute. We want to see all these blue T-shirts here. Yep. All right. So these guys have been coming. They're actually probably the team that has come here the most. They have come here the most, and when they can't come, they usually let us know that they can't come, and then they try to hit it the next year. If they can't, then they hit it the following year. But they have come at least a half a dozen times. So they have done a great job every time they come here. Looking forward to them. Got a lot of new faces. So if you're new to here, welcome to Indiana. Is anybody here the first time to Indiana? Because I know Mississippi. Look at all that. Yes. So if you don't have allergies there, you'll get them here. So, yeah, we have a lot of allergies up here. But, yeah, and Mississippi is just one thing. It's just hot all the time. Hot. And but thank you guys for coming up here, taking your holiday weekend, coming up here to spend time with us. You traveled all day yesterday, came in last night, and got situated, and here today they wanted to be with us they wanted to be with us on Sunday. So that's great. A lot of teams come in after they do church, and they come in late Sunday night. So Phil Marlowe has to stay up and come in and unlock it. But last night he did that. So it's always good. We'll take them any way they can get here. So, and they are here, and they came in safely. So we're looking forward to a good trip with them. And you guys are leaving Thursday morning, right? Right, so they'll be here with us on worship on Wednesday night. Got some things planned. They'll be doing lots of things there. So it's just good to have mission teams. We've had a couple of other ones that were planned to be here, but they could not. Some things came up, but that also just happens as well. But we are here today. We are. God gives us a Sunday to worship. He gives us Sunday to praise His name, to worship Him, to pray together, to fellowship, and to learn and disciple, and all those things. And that's what He wants us to do. And today you've chosen to do that. So amen for you. And so welcome to New Life if this is your first time. And so today we're going to be in the book of Genesis. We're going to go into I'm going to work a little bit in chapter 13 and 14. So these two chapters, especially chapter 14, is probably one of the more difficult ones in the Old Testament of the book of Genesis, I'll say that. It is if you've ever read it, you might have missed a few things, and if you've read it and you got it, good. And this will be a recap for you, but I want to share with you with some things here today. This is Abram. I may call him Abraham because I'm so used to calling him Abraham, but this is before his name of Abraham, but it is Abram. And so what we'll see here is the story of Abram, and God has chosen to pull him out and lead him to a new place and land, and it's going to make some promises to Abram down the road, and he's made some already in the beginning, and there's a walk that Abram's going to have to walk. And one thing I just want to share with you that this today is a lot about integrity. It's about integrity and being honest, and integrity within family, integrity as being leaders in your family, and integrity of just being who God's called you to be. And so we're gonna work through this piece here. Because what we have two people that are our main characters here is Abram and Lot. And so Abram is Lot's uncle. So it'd be Abram's brother. His son is named Lot. And he also came along this big adventure with Abram. And so they began to grow in what they've had. And they are out there. I just want to pick it up in 13 in verse 2. It says this: Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. So this guy... I don't think we really put and understand really how much that Abram had. He had a lot. And Lot had a lot too, but Abram had a lot. And Abram was kind of like more of the Elon Musk kind of guy, the Bill Gates guy. He had it all. He had it. He had a lot. And God is okay with people having a lot. Did you know that? Some people we reverse and say, oh, rich people can't get to heaven. That's not what the Bible tells us. Sometimes God allows people. Once rich, having something is okay. It's just how we deal with it. And God entrusted Abram with it, and Abram did a great job with it. Maybe you wouldn't do a great job with a lot of money. Maybe I wouldn't do a great job with a lot of money. But Abram is one of those guys that God just entrusted with him. And we're going to see that he is a man of integrity. We need integrity more. We need integrity in the church. Listen, the church, there's people, we lie too much. We do. We always point at our politicians for lying so much, but we do. People do. And we shouldn't do that. But the scripture says Abraham was very rich. You don't see the very rich until it's probably the New Testament again. Very rich. Abraham had everything physically that a person probably could ever want. But there was a problem that him and Lot, it began to become some issues. It says in verse 7, and there was a quarreling between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land. So there were some arguments going on between the herdsmen and the shepherd herdsmen of Lot's side and of Abram's side. And it's funny that the scripture says that the Perizzites and the Canaanites were there. It's funny that we do get the idea of knowing where they are, but we also get the idea that, you know, when you fight and you argue, the outsiders see that. When churches get into fights, outside sees that. It's a bad witness. It's a bad witness. And Lot sees Abram sees that is a bad witness. It seems like that Abram's always going to be there for Lot. We're going to see that. Abram's going to always be there for Lot. And here we find out that it says in verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, please, let's not have quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we are relatives. Family, he says, we're family. We got to get through this. We're family. We left on this journey together. We're in this. Your stuff grew. My stuff grew. But he says, there's not enough room. Isn't the whole land before you? He says, listen. Abram says, look out here. All this land is before you. Let's separate. Right now, we need to separate. Not because we're separating because we're angry, because we don't love each other, but we need to separate because you got all these herds, cattle, we got all this stuff, and we just need to make, there needs to be more room for each one, and that our workers are not fighting. So separate from me. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Abraham takes the lead. But that's what the elder relatives are supposed to do. We take lead. We're supposed to take the lead. And then we see this little move that Lot does. I think it's disrespectful, but we see a move that Lot does. And he says this, Lot looked out and saw the entire plain of the Jordan as far as Zorah, was well watered and everywhere like the Lord's garden and the land of Egypt. So he saw what he wanted to see. So he's listening to what Abram said. He's looking around seeing which area do I want to go to? So Abraham's given him the opportunity and he sees that there's an area that's well watered and it's beautiful. And so you would think that this guy would say, you know what? Hey, uncle. I think you should take the spot. You're older. You're kind of the godfather of the family. You're the leader of the family. Why don't you pick? And so, but he doesn't do that. Well, he didn't do that. You know, I've seen less respect from people today than I've ever seen. And it's not just young people. It's also older people. And sometimes the younger people don't want to respect the older people because the older people won't respect anyway either. And so we become more like society instead of the way God wants us to be respectful and loving to one another. And so we see this piece that Lot says, he says, so he ends up picking that side. So Lot chose the entire plain of the Jordan for himself. I get this. It's almost like, hey, like a father would say, hey, I got two trucks here. Here's a brand new one, and here's one that's used. Which one would you want? And he said, I'll take the new one. And that's exactly what Lot did. He chose what he thought was best. He looked by his eyes. He took it. And it says, then Lot journeyed eastward and they separated. It did stop the arguments. It did stop that between their workers and their herdsmen. And Abram lived in the land of Canaan, but Lot lived in the cities of the plain and set up his tent near Sodom. And then it says, now the men of Sodom were evil, sinning immensely against the Lord. Just because something looks good doesn't mean it's good. And so what we see sometimes is we see things out there that look good and we get drawn to it. We don't examine it. He didn't say, hey, let me go down and check out the area. Let me go see what there looks like. There's a city that. Let me go down there and check out the city. No, he goes on in and listen. You will either influence the people you're with, or the people are going to influence you. It's just the way it is. And I want to ask you today: are you influencing people around you? Or are you being influenced by people around you? Now, if the people around you are good people and they're biblical, they're Christians and they're living a life, that's a good way to be influenced. But if you're around the people that are not and not living the way God wants us to live, then you're being influenced by the world. And things happen when you are being influenced by the world. So things kind of settle down, but there's something that's going on in the area around. There's something going on, and there's going to be a battle like the world. There's going to be a battle of some crazy things that's getting ready to happen. This is the hard part about chapter 14. This is the tough part about chapter 14, because people, you have to go in and discern what these words mean, because Bible names mean something. They always mean something. And so we find out that there's this king. I'm going to say his name one time because it's very. These are some of the hardest names I've come across. But Chedorlaomer is this king of Elam. He is kind of the king of some other kings, and so he has these other places paying tribute to him, which means if you want to be safe, you pay me, and I make sure that we don't attack and all that. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah decide we're done paying after 12 years. They're not going to pay tribute anymore. And there's a couple other ones as well. So here it is. This king, I'll say it again, Chedorlaomer, he decides he's going to get up his four kings together, and they're going to go against five kings. Now, there's something unique about this area. The world was different than the way it is now. I'm going to tell you, the world was different in a lot of ways. He goes against these kings. So it's going to be four kings against five, right? And so what we see here is in this 14th year, this king. I want to just tell you how tough this king is. This king is tough. He is really tough. In the past, he's went up. Let me just give you a couple of things he's done. He's went up against the, in verse five, he's went up against the Raphaim. And that word is translated as giants. Now we know that there were giants in the land back in the days. A lot of people don't, listen, you got to quit thinking you believe what you see. You believe what you see because you see it. But there's a lot more going on in the world than what we know. There is a spiritual world that you can't see. And a lot of this is the same thing. A lot of Christians are just like a lot of non-Christians in some sense. I don't believe in God because I don't see God. I don't believe in Jesus because I don't see him. Well, we believe because of faith, amen? We believe in Jesus because we have a faith. We believe in Jesus because we have a faith in that, and we believe in what the Word of God says. So the Rephaim is these giants that they have defeated. So they beat these giants, but also they also beat these Zuzim people as well. And that's translated as roaming things. Now, I'm not going to get into all like over these animals, over these creatures, whatever it is. It's called roaming things. That's how it is interpreted. So there are things on the earth that we don't quite always understand. And here we find out they beat them, and then they also beat the Emim people as well, which means terror or terrible ones. So there's a lot of theologians that believe that these were three different sets of giants, but it is what it is. And then also the Hararites, which were cave dwellers. So we see that this king also came in. I want to tell you, drugs and alcohol has destroyed families over and over and over and over. Amen? They have. We know that. That's a fact. That they have, it has destroyed. Adultery also has destroyed so many marriages. It's unbelievable. The grass is not always greener on the other side. So Satan's using all kinds of things to destroy families and people's lives. And we see this king come through. This is why he's getting a tribute, because he just knows how to terrorize and beat those who are bigger than him. And then he goes up in here and he ends up fighting Sodom and Gomorrah and three other kings. So there's four kings and they win. So this guy does not lose. Okay. This guy does not lose. How many of y'all thought sometimes you're just like, man, alcohol just keeps winning in my family. Why is it that everybody in my family, everybody seems like they get married and they get divorced? Why is everybody in my family just get an alcoholism as a beast? And we got these things going on all the time. And you know, it's tough. But this king made a mistake. Let me just share with you. Verse 11. The four kings took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the food and went on. They did. They took it. They did everything. And Abraham's yet sitting over here, not getting involved. You don't have to get involved with everything that Fox News tells you to get involved to. You don't have to get involved in everything that CNN tells you to get involved in. You don't have to read all that stuff, right? You don't have to, but we get drawn into it. And then we get angry and our blood boils. Yeah, I see a lot of smiles on your faces. So you do that, right? We do that. Because we think that, yeah. But here's what the scripture says in verse 12. This is the big one. They also took Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, for he was living in Sodom, and then they went on. What we see is Lot now, he is now being taken captive. Remember, when you start living in an atmosphere, that is a sinful atmosphere. If you can't change the atmosphere, you can't, you know, you're not being able to help that atmosphere change. That atmosphere has a way of kind of sucking you in if you're not strong enough. And it has taken Abram's nephew, Lot. How many of y'all have a relative that used to live for the Lord but not living for the Lord now? How many of y'all have a kid that was serving God and now doesn't serve? Or an uncle or an aunt, a family member that was really in there singing music or doing things and not doing anything now? That's one of the hardest things to watch. Something drew them away. Captured them and took them away. And we see this constantly going on. And the problem is we're getting used to it. And we won't go get back what we lost. Now you can go after that child, you can go after that family member, and you can share, and if they don't want to come back, then you've done what you could do, but you've done what you can do to them, but then you come back and you begin to pray with them because you don't want to stop. You said, I've done what I could do, but now I'm just going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them because I know that what I've said is not going to work, but I'm going to pray that God would intervene. I don't stop praying for family members that have swayed away from the Lord, that has been taken captive into a life of sin. I'm still going to continue to pray for them because I know God's mercy is big. I know the Lord Jesus Christ's love is bigger than mine. And if I'm doing that kind of work, I can imagine what God is doing, trying to sway them and pull them back toward where they need to be. And Lot has fallen into this area, trying to be this man that God wants him to be, I think, and he's trying to work through it. But he gets captured because he's in the area where he chose to be. He chose to be there. Well, what happens is the news gets back. Somebody ends up escaping and goes back and tells Abram. Some people would say, oh, somebody's snitching. Somebody's dratting. Somebody's telling. You know what? I think it's good when someone says something's happening, as long as it's truth and not gossip. Because I want to know what's going on with one of my family members. I want to know because I love them, and I'm sure you do too because you love them. You pray probably at night for some that you're not sure what they're doing, but you're praying for their safety. You're praying, and you continue to pray for them because you don't know what's going on. You don't want to know where they're at all. I mean, you don't want to know what they've been doing, but you're praying for them. And Abraham, here it is. Abraham heard that his relative had been taken prison. And when he heard it, he just didn't sit there and go, and he's getting all sad. But he wanted to do something about it. So what he does is he turns around and he gets a 318 of his men who had been trained. Now remember, this guy Abram is a smart man. He is the richest, he is a very rich man. He has got a lot of people. But he's got 318 that he is trained up to do battle. Because in that time, you better be able to take, if you got something, you better be able to hold it. Because somebody else wants to get it. Okay? And back then, family was everything. Because you needed to be in a family group. You needed to be in your clan because it was unsafe to be out there roaming around somewhere because they would just tap you, get you, kill you, put you in slavery, do whatever it is. And next, you needed to be in a clan so that you could be safe. Today, so many people don't even want to be around family and we just do our own thing. And when we do our own thing, we're in unsafe areas. This is why I think God wants the church to be together, so we get together and we fellowship and we draw close to each other. So when we get to the scriptures where it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So basically, is when someone's happy, you be happy. When someone is hurting, we should be hurting with them because we're family. The family feels the pain and suffering together. Now it's like, I don't care. You chose it. You did it. You reap the consequences of it. Well, I just want to say, I'm so glad Jesus doesn't think that way. Sometimes us as fathers need to be a little softer. Sometimes us mothers need to be a little harder. Sometimes us kids need to be a little more respectful. Sometimes we need just to listen. And just because you're right and the other one's wrong doesn't mean you have to prove it. And we're seeing here that Abram gathers up his 318 men, and they were born in this household, and they went out and they went pursuit as far as Dan. And it says, and he and his servants deployed against them by night and defeated them. Now here it is. What did he do? Abram went and took his 318. See, they weren't trying to do what these other kings were doing. Oh, I'm trying to hold my city. Or, oh, I want to go in there and make sure I get my tribute. They were fighting for something. Abram was fighting for something more than what all these other kings were fighting for their own selves. He was fighting for family. You hear me about that? When's the last time somebody fought for your family? Because I'm telling you, the world's not going to fight for you at all. The world's just going to eat you up, throw you in line, and doesn't care. How do you fight for your family? Son, daughter says, you know what, I'm homosexual. I'm gay. How are you going to deal with that? Because it happens. And it's happening more because the world says it's okay. And they get drawn into that and they say, I'm confused. And those things. And people do get confused. We need to admit people get confused. We need to admit that sin is out there. We need to admit, but we also need to know that God's given us a family, a physical family, and a spirit, our family, and we need to know that it happens, and we need to know that people, listen, let me share something. People who are saved, some still get drunk. Some still have a problem with alcoholism. And people say, well, all you gotta do is call out Jesus. Let me tell you something. Yeah, we need to call out on Jesus. But I'm telling you, those battles are real battles. And sometimes people aren't fighting because they look around and they think their family, all they do is criticizing. They don't love me anyway. People are checking out, people are committing suicide more now than ever. Just where's the love in family? Where is the love when it comes to family? So what? If you're right and they're wrong, listen, it's better. Listen. Lot was living where a place he shouldn't have been. He was too close into the city. We see later on he is in the city. It never stopped Lot from loving. It never stopped Abram from loving his nephew. He did everything he could to help his nephew. And here he goes out and he fights and he physically. This is the only time we see Abram get into a fight. And I'm telling you, Abram is a tough man. His 318 go out and they go out and kill that other. They go out and win the battle that this other king, this Caledramar guy, turned around and beat all these other. At least we know one set of giants, and we went over and beat those other people, and then came in and beat these other kings. And it's easier to defend a place than it is to attack a place. And all he does is attack. Here it is. Abram goes out and beats this man. Why? Because in his heart he says, "You got my family." Man, I wish we would just fight like that for our family members. I had a grandpa that was an alcoholic and a drunk. And at 12, 13 years old, when I come to the Lord, I prayed for him all the time. All the time. Because when he drunk, he was mean. He wasn't mean to me, but he was mean to my grandma. He was mean to people. He was nasty. And I want to tell you something. a 13-year-old prayers can be one of the most powerful things in the world. If the 13-year-old prayers are praying to the Lord Jesus Christ to intervene in the family. Because I'm going to tell you this. When you're praying at the age of 13, you're not praying for selfish reasons. And if you are, you don't even understand it. You're praying selfishly in the sense because that's my grandpa. You're praying because you love someone. And I think that's when God wants to answer prayers. And we see those things. And we see that Abram is fighting. And he goes and he wins. It's all heart for him. He didn't get into this big battle and all this mess. But he did when his family got pulled into it. And they came in and they captured him. They captured Lot and his wife and his family. And he's not my family. You're not doing that to my family. Can I remind you, people make mistakes. Sometimes people make mistakes and they have to go to prison for a while. Have to go to prison for a while. You know, the grandpa that I prayed for, he went to prison, he stole a car. And I still prayed for him. He got in trouble and he went to prison in Tennessee. And he got out. And somebody killed him in an alley. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I just like, what? And my grandma had remarried. But it bothered me for a long time. And then I asked my grandma, you ever heard from Grandpa? What's going on with him? And she said that, yeah, hit him in the head with a brick and killed him in an alley. It was a vengeance. You get me, I'm going to get you type of thing. And then I was like, man, I was heartbroken over that. And then his sister came over to visit, and she said something to my grandma, and I caught it. My grandma shared more with me, but I did not know that he came to know the Lord in prison. I don't know all the gist of it, but it just reminded me that even when you're 13, you pray. Even when nobody else is praying, everybody says, well, that's just a drunk. That guy needs to go to prison. Well, to me, he was my grandpa. And sometimes you got a son that just acts like an idiot and rude and crude, and it's got a mouth of a garbage can and does things, and you're just like, man, you're just, you know what, still your son, and that daughter is still your daughter. And you, if anybody's going to pray, you need to be the one praying for your own family members. And Abram did that, and he brought back all the goods and all his relative and his lot and his goods, as well as the women and people. When it looked like a catastrophe, Abraham goes, the man of God, goes out and takes care of business. Not a fighter, but a fighter. You call him out, he needs to fight, he'll fight, but he'll fight for the right reasons. And then it says this, after Abraham returned from defeating the Calamor and the kings who were with him. I love that part. It tells us here that Abram defeated all those kings with 318 men and himself. How can you do that? You can only do it with the power of God. You can only do it with Jesus Christ. That's it. We can't win these battles in the world these days. Everything is more complicated and just a hot mess. And we need Christ to win these battles. But what happens is, just real quickly, we see Melchizedek, a king of Salem. Now, some people believe that is this gets into complicated, more Jesus in the past. I don't believe it is. There's parts of it in the Hebrews. It looks like it is. It's a mixed match, but theologians differ on who it is. This is a very godly man who, and I want to remind you, everything that happened in the world, God didn't put in the Bible. It seemed like God had at least a family, a man that was always worshiping God all through time. And so we see here that it says Melchizedek, king of Salem. And that's the other thing. What makes it weird is Melchizedek is a king of Salem, but also a priest And in the later the laws, you couldn't be a king and a priest. And we saw a king try to be a priest, and then God struck him with an illness. But this is sometimes, you know, God does special things sometimes. We don't have to understand it all. But what is great is he says he was a priest to God. And he said he brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest to God, but also the king of Salem, the Most High. He blessed him and said, Abram is blessed by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has handed over your enemies to you. The battle really isn't ours, but we have to get into the battle. The Bible says the battle is the Lord's, right? And we see here that God will give us victory when we fight, and when we fight for the right things. Listen, God wants people to draw to Him. No one wants people to come to Christ more than Christ Himself. But we need to fight that fight. And he says, then Abram gave him a tenth, and it goes on there a little bit. And then what happens is the king of Sodom says, hey, Abram, here, I want to give you this money and all this stuff. You can keep all what you brought back. And Abram says, I don't want any of that stuff. I don't want anything. I don't want you to think that I got rich by you. I don't want you to think I owe you anything. And so, you know, that's a great thing. That is a great and amazing thing. He says, but as far as the share of the other men, they can have what they got, but I'm not doing it. But in verse chapter 15 says something so beautiful. It says this. After these events, listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you do something the way God wants you to do, the blessing you'll think you'll get out of it is always bigger than what you think you're going to get. The cost of what you put, your risk, God's blessings are so much bigger. He said, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. Isn't that something? And then what we find out, time goes on, and then Abraham gets a visitor, gets three visitors. And some of you know the story that God's going to look down and get ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But what does Abraham do? He takes a walk, and he says, he wants to talk to the Lord, and he says, Lord, what if there is 50 righteous people? Would you destroy that? And he goes down all the way down to 10. And the Lord says, not even for 10 will I destroy it. And when even 10 righteous people in Sodom. Not even 10. But I want to tell you something. Abraham didn't stop at this moment. When he knew that God was looking to destroy Sodom, what came to Abraham's mind? I've got family there. Even if they're not living right, even if they're a little bit off, they're doing whatever, it's still family. It's still family. And what does God do? God sends a couple of angels down in there, and Lot ends up leaving. I wish we would fight more for our family. But sometimes you might be saying, I'm sick of fighting. I'm tired of fighting. They don't listen. They don't do anything right. They do whatever they want to do. I hate what they do. Sometimes people just do. Our family members can do some really ugly things. And sometimes you do have to learn to love from a distance. But when it comes down to it, you need to fight for your family. You need to get in there, and you need to get up, and you need to go. And you might think, well, they didn't do anything for me. I'm not doing anything for them. And here we go again, that back and forth. And I believe that Satan says that's exactly what Satan wants to do. You know anybody that's fought for you and you weren't living right? Anybody fight for you? Anybody fight for you? Sometimes fighting is praying on a regular basis. Moms pray for kids all the time. We're supposed to do those things, but sometimes we got to get up and we got to go find them. And the Holy Spirit will let you know when you got to do those kind of things, but you can't give up on your family. And some of us are living out there in that edge of Sodom. We're living out there on the edge, and we want to go in, but we know we shouldn't go in because we get conviction. We don't want to go in, but we get close enough, and before we even know it, we're already in it. And we still think we're trying to get in it, but we're already in it. Wow. Anybody have an Abram in your family? You see, us men are supposed to be protectors of our home. We are. But if we're living in Sodom, how in the world can we be protectors of our own home? How can we be protectors of our own home? Sometimes people leave because their own homes are unsafe. So we find out Satan continues to try to destroy families one member at a time. And never think that you're perfect. Never think that you have it all together. But when you do, that's when you'll slip and fall. And you know what? Sometimes they don't want to hear our stories. They've already heard them. But you know what? Sometimes you share it again. But this time you share it in love. And quit doing that number. Because that's what they expect. If you can do it in love, I'm telling you, love softens a lot. Compassion goes a long way. Mercy goes a long way. Ask the woman at the well. Ask the adulterous woman. When Jesus says, where are those who persecute you? I know I have a couple people that fought for my life at times. There's been people that would pray for me that I would stay on the right path. Even when your life seems like it's going good, you have people that would pray. I remember a lady named Ruth that told me she was part of our church years ago. She said, "Jimmy, I pray for you every morning at 2 a.m. in the morning." "Well, I'm asleep by 2 a.m. in the morning." I said, "How you do that 2 a.m. in the morning?" She says, "Well, when you get in your 70s, you don't sleep." And she says, I have you on my wall in my kitchen every day at 2 a.m. in the morning. You know what she's doing? She's fighting for me, praying for me. Am I her blood family? No. I'm part of her church family. I'm a Christian family. Yeah. Yeah, my grandpa was blood family. I'm going to fight for my blood family. But I'm also going to fight for my church family. Because the world is not going to do it. That's why the world just continues to beat us up. Because we're not conforming to the ways of the world. Listen, no family is perfect. We can say that, right? Would you like all your junk in your family to come out? Would you like all your junk to come out? No. No, no, no. But let me remind you, it is out. It's just the people you don't want to see don't see it. God sees it. You see it. Instead of trying to hide it, we need to deal with it. And that's exactly what Abram did. Went out and took care of business. That's exactly what he did. Some of my folks may have heard this already, and I'm going to close with this. My father used to cuss all the time and used to drink all the time. Now, some of you known him and say, "I've never saw that." And my dad came up to me and he goes, because I didn't see him often. He worked two jobs all the time. He's just one of those guys, and a cigarette in one mouth and a cigarette in the mouth and a long neck beer in the hand, and there went the swear words. Jimmy, he said, your baseball coach wants to invite us to church, and he goes, "I just don't know about all that." But he said, "You seemed like a nice guy. You think you want to go? You think we want to, whatever?" And we went. It was maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, and then my father got saved. And then my whole family got saved. And I found out my bloodline on that family is a lot of alcoholics. I mean, just tons of alcoholics. His brother died of alcoholism. Sister died of alcoholism. My grandma shared a story with me later on. This is why I bring it up. There was an alcoholic in my family. It was my great-great-grandfather. And when he came to the Lord, he came to this place in his life where he was the mean guy of a small town. And he came to the Lord, and his whole life changed. My grandmother said he began to pray for his family. And she said, nobody prayed for our family. Nobody knew what church was. And she says, Jimmy, I think your dad is a result of your great-grandfather's prayers. He was fighting a fight that he knew alcoholism was in the family so bad that he knew that was going to be a fight for his family for a long time. I say that for this reason. There are people that have fought for you that you don't even know. And I was told that I have a family members that were praying for some, a preacher to be in the family. So people, I'm just saying, people pray for you that have long gone and been with the Lord. They've been praying, fighting a fight for you, and you don't even realize who's fighting for you. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that. We are not attaining what we're attaining because we're so good. We are not where we are just because of the people around us. Sometimes it's the people has been before us and said, this family is a complete mess. And I've come to Christ, and the Christ needs to be a part of my family, not just today, but also in the future. I've already prayed for grandkids. I've already prayed for my family that I've not even met yet. And I may not even meet. You know where you get that from? You get that from the Bible when Jesus says in chapter 17, he prayed for future believers. Yeah. Don't pray just for today for your family. Pray for your future family members as well. Be the family member that God wants you to be for your family. And be the family that someone would say, I would love to be in your family. Father, as we take a moment here, just to take a time of responding, I know we all have a family. We all have a family. And every one of our family, every family has problems. I pray, Father, that you would raise up people in our family, leaders that would lead like Abram, with integrity. I pray for this moment that your spirit would have its way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead.